SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hello and welcome to your daily markets update for this Thursday, the 25th of July. I'm Raina Bosch, filling in for Ricardo Gonçalves. Global markets came crashing down today, the ASX 200 shedding 1.3%, with those declines extending towards the end of the session. Japan's Nikkei 225 also weighing heavily. That's ahead of second quarter GDP data due out of the US later tonight and follows on from weakness across the major American indices. The tech sell-off partially to blame. For more on what's driving that and what to expect from the Aussie dollar for those set to travel overseas, I spoke with Chris Weston. He's the head of research at Pepperstone.
Well, you say it's a weak lead in the US, but I think Japan's a really interesting one. I mean, the Nikkei has been really one of the big, heavily concentrated positions, just like big tech in the US and the AI-related names. There's been so much money that's been going into the Japanese market because of the obviously the very expansive monetary policy settings, the momentum, some of the big names there are obviously related to AI as well. And that's coming unwound very, very quickly indeed. Chinese markets are doing okay today, but they're still down. But if you have a look at our market, there's really not many places which you can find solace in. We've got only 15% of stocks higher. So we've seen broad-based selling playing through. We saw most of the selling take place on the open, as you'd imagine, and we sort of just gravitated sideways with the market down about 1% into the close. But really, it's the high flyers, the tech names that are taking out the points today and underperforming. And it's really the staples and the really sort of the more defensive areas of the market with the predictable cash flows, the quality, sustained earnings that I think people are sort of flowing back to. But even those are down today. So it is a sell everything kind of day. And I think people are asking a lot of questions. They're not seeing a lot of answers as to what's causing this move. We can obviously sort of look at a number of factors, but I think there's a lot of de-risking and a lot of questions that people don't get the answers to, which is causing the move on a more sustained basis here.
Yeah, you mentioned de-risking there, and there does seem to be a lot of anxiety that's kind of stemming through here. Where is that coming from?
Well, I think it's a combination of factors. I mean, obviously, there's been a huge amount of positioning that's just been concentrated in big tech, AI-related names, semiconductors. All of these places have had so much capital going into them. And eventually, that breaks. And too many people stand on one side of the ship and the ship will ultimately tip. And I think we've got that now because we've seen both Joe Biden, who's obviously passing on potentially to Kamala Harris, and the Democrat side of things going after Taiwan and who producing the technology that goes into the GPUs, into the AI names, but also on the Trump side of things. So we've got the straw that's caused capital to come out of those plays. And I think there's more to it. We've also seen concerns around China's growth. We've seen that in some of the industrial metals, but I think there's more to come. And we saw the third plenum in China recently, and that didn't give us the answers we were hoping for as well. So China's growth, US growth, European growth, still very much in the forefront as well. And we saw some fairly poor earnings from Tesla and also for Q3 CapEx numbers from Alphabet that really don't sort of give us any inspiration as well. So there's a whole sort of cacophony of different reasons. It's not one smoking gun, but I think we've just seen a lot of liquidations, a lot of people asking questions, as I say. And when what we do as traders and investors is we try and price certainty, we try and price the future, and we get a clouded judgment around that, then we sell more.
Keeping the conversation on the US, we also have GDP figures coming out there tonight. What are you expecting?
Well, from a markets perspective, I don't think this is going to move the dial too much because GDP is a backward looking indicator. It's looked at the quarter that we had, and as investors and traders, of course, we're looking into the future and we're trying to price ourselves and price earnings in the future. That said, given that we've got growth and global growth as one of the sort of the concerns at the moment and a slowdown that's taking place, and we're seeing that in the commodity prices, I do think this could get more of a look in, and especially as people are expecting a slowdown in GDP to about 1.5%. And we are going to be watching consumption patterns within that quite a lot. But generally speaking, GDP, whilst it sort of teaches us in the textbooks that we should be looking at this, markets typically don't react that strongly to it because it's in the past and we're pricing growth in the future. But I think tonight, because of the semantics that's going on in the market, I think it could be, you know, get a quite a good look in for the market.
Back home, the Aussie has been fluctuating quite wildly over the last couple of months. This is all ahead of CPI figures that are out next week. What are you expecting that to do to the dollar, and how do you explain this wild fluctuation?
Well, I think look out if we were to get a trimmed mean number above 4%, given that the RBA in their May statement of monetary policy are forecasting this number to be about 3.8%. The market at the moment is pricing about a 1 in 3 chance that we do get a rate hike on the 6th of August. So if we were to get a much hotter number, then yeah, that could be very problematic, certainly for the ASX 200 and interest rate sensitive stocks. The Australian dollar, I think it's a different beast, though. And whilst you may see a strong reaction on a hot CPI number and, you know, a big downside move if we were to see a big miss to sort of the consensus number, the RBA's forecasts, and certainly against the crosses, against the Kiwi dollar and against the euro and the pound. But I think when you're looking at the Australian dollar against the US dollar right now, it's actually moved very much away from interest rate differentials, what's being expected in Australia relative to that in the US. And it's really have a very strong correlation with industrial metals. So copper, what's happening in nickel, but also in the iron ore futures price. So I don't think interest rate expectations have too much to do with this. This is reverted purely to a China proxy, to a growth proxy. So, you know, if we were to see a hot CPI number, I think Aussie against the US may have a little bit of a pop. But I think as long as copper prices are heading lower and sharply lower, I think people will sell into that. And I think the Aussie dollar goes lower from here.
Finally, Chris, and given the broad-based sell-off right now, where are the opportunities for investors?
Well, I'm playing defence. I think defence is the place. As I say, right now, what we need to do is understand the future. And I think there's still a more liquidations that need to play out through here. Now, I know that next week we're going to get some massive earnings coming from the likes of Meta, from the likes of from Apple and some of the big tech plays that could see a bit of a rebound. But I obviously have no edge in understanding how those earnings are going to come out. Obviously, we look at our risk reward. That may be a function. But I think in the short term, I think there's still more of a flush out. A lot of these themes which are causing anxiety in the market, I still think they've got further to play. So I think right now you've got to be in quality names. You've got to be in great, good balance sheet, low gearing. The names with very predictable cash flows, quality balance sheets, these are the places which will outperform. But even in that situation, I think this is the time to look at hedging policies. And I think this is probably not one for the brave at the moment.
That was Chris Weston, Head of Research at Pepperstone.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.